Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so hey, if you were over there, there's a brand new blog post. That if not, hey, there's a brand new blog post to get over there and read it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Yay, threes, yay. Well, you know, Dan, I don't think I could hate football anymore right now. I don't even want to talk about it. I was pussing around on the MLB site, and it apparently has been recommended that Shohei Ohtani undergo Tommy John surgery. So I guess he won't be pitching the game on Sunday.
I mean, he couldn't wait another week.
Yeah, you think, you know, it would have been nice. You think they could have waited until after the year, you know, the end of the year or something. But the, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, this is the same thing they said about Masahiro Tanaka after his first year. And he's continued to pitch without really any incident. You know, I guess you'd say it about any pitcher, but there's always a chance that, you know, they're going to end up needing Tommy John. You know, I mean, just imagine, though, if he has it now, you can kiss 2019 goodbye as well. So,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, if he's Zach Wheeler, he 2 years.
Now, you know, and I know you're not going to have the inside knowledge on it, despite the fact that, for whatever reason, you pronounce all the Japanese players' names perfectly. You know, do you think with his agent or just being not from here to begin with, that maybe he gets a second opinion back home?
You know, it is possible. Here's what they're saying today. He apparently underwent an MRI today, and it revealed new damage to his UCL, which is the, you know, the ulnar collateral ligament. So, it also goes on to say additional information will be provided when appropriate. I definitely think he needs a second opinion, whether he gets it here or whether he gets it, you know, in Japan, if he's going back there. I just get so baffled by this. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who's 23, so the only thing you can really attribute this to is overuse. We know the Angels didn't overuse him because they were giving him his once-a-week schedule. So how many freaking times did he pitch in Japan when he was underage and probably shouldn't have been doing it, I guess, is the question. And, you know, sooner or later, these organizations, no matter where you are, have to realize that winning becomes secondary to development with these guys, and they've got to stop blowing them out. I mean, you know, that's all it is. You know, plain and simple, nobody develops pitchers anymore. So, I don't want to get off the bandwagon again, but you damn well know you shouldn't be throwing a baseball 12 months a year. You know, it's just that simple. You know, they'll tell you it's not a natural motion, but here we are. We're going to force these kids to pump fastballs and curveballs for 12 months a year because daddy wants a superstar and wants to be able to sit on his fat ass while his kid makes all the money. And, you know how many kids don't make it? Well, I'm talking to one of them. He's talking to another one of them, and we hung up the phone with a third one earlier. So here's three of us who didn't make it, but I wasn't forced, so I can't complain. So and I know you weren't either, so you can't complain.
No. You know, and,
yes,
you know, everything's always going to come back to Moneyball. You know, one of Billy Bean's things was he didn't like the way the scouts drafted and how much they enjoyed picking up high schoolers.
Yeah.
Do you think that's maybe more of a positive image when you kind of go with your argument that, you know, if the teams are able to grab these kids younger, you know, they're able to develop them better? And then they're not forced all year round?
Yeah, I actually think it would be better for an 18-year-old kid to go into a major league system than it would be to go into a college system. Now, of course, there are good college programs. You know, the problem with that is a lot of these kids are broke down by the time, you know, they're getting out of high school. You know, I coached Little League before – it was a trend to play 12 months a year, and kids were allowed to, you know, go out and play other sports. I got out of coaching just as that started being a thing. That and the fact that I'm a yeller. I have a very loud voice, and I enjoy yelling very much. And, you know, we got to that generation where kids can't handle that, and I would make 13 and 14-year-old kids cry. So it was definitely time for me to go. But, you know, a lot of it comes from, I mean, I've seen 8-year-old kids snapping curveballs and not being taught how to do it the correct way. So, you know, there's arm issues just waiting to happen with that because, you know, again, and it all points back to, you know, daddy wants to live out his baseball dreams through junior. And since daddy couldn't make it, he's going to make sure junior gets there at whatever cost it takes. So, you know, no matter if that means junior's having Tommy John at 13 and then again at 18 and, you know, can't lift his arm over his head by the time he's 25, that doesn't matter because, you know, daddy wants a superstar. You know, God forbid the kid may be a talented tennis player or golfer or something, because damn well he's going to play baseball 12 months a year. No matter what. So a lot of adult stupidity goes into what happens to these guys. And, you know, in Japan, you know, I don't know if they still do, but, you know, they used to have almost what you would describe as baseball factory where kids would play baseball all year long, and that was almost their job. You know, you would go from school to baseball to school to baseball. So, you know, even if you're being taught correct ways to do things, that's a lot of wear and tear on an arm. So, thanks, guys, for ruining a fantastic game by killing your children. That's just wonderful thing to do. Eventually, we'll just have pitching machines out there with robotic umpires, won't we? Because all we want to see is home runs, anyways.
Yeah. Or you know, the player's dad tossing the ball underhand.
Yeah, you know, so they can hit home runs. You know, just whatever. You know, whatever works out, so we can get some more saber metrics into the game and. You know, get some more home runs. And with the home run, we don't care about anything else. So, because we're stupid and we don't understand how the game should be played and, you know, all that fun stuff. But, hey, you know, what do I know? Nobody wants to talk to me about it because they're idiots and I would end up yelling at them. So, all right, so we can say goodbye to Shohei Ohtani. Maybe they'll shut up about him winning Rookie of the Year because he shouldn't have won it anyways, but he pitched 2 1/3 innings on Sunday, and somebody tried to give him the award again. I'm like, really? He pitched 2 1/3 innings, and he sucked. And you want to make him Rookie of the Year. God, you guys are dumb. Why do you have votes? So, Dan, let's talk about what did the Braves learn these past, I don't know, was it 2 or 4 games or whatever? Boston goes into Atlanta, basically tars and feathers them, except for today where they had to come back from a 6-run deficit to win. And Brandon Phillips, of all people, yes, that Brandon Phillips, hit the two-run home run that I believe tied the game or won the game or did something to the game. He had a big effect on the game. So what did the, you know, the, I don't know, the young Braves learn from the veteran Red Sox in this series?
They need to step it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping you had an answer. I didn't see enough of the games to know what happened. I just know the Red Sox won. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I assume what they learned is that they're not ready to compete with the big boys, which is, you know, what teams like the Red Sox and the Astros are if you happen to run into them. And I would actually kind of throw the Dodgers in there because they're a very veteran-laden team. You know, so you wonder if, I mean, will these, you know, as the stage gets bigger and the lights get brighter, are these young, you know, immature Braves going to shrink?
They could. I mean, you know, and this is just a bit of a Cubs fan, but I mean, I've pretty much written off the East, especially with the fact that the Nationals, even if they own this division and won this division again, I mean, let's be honest, they've been a complete joke / failure when it came to postseason. But, you know, that was also to be saved with hiring, with being, you know, progressive and hiring Joe Madden's right-hand man. You know, that was going to save everything. And a young coach that was going to do exactly what the front office wanted him to do was going to save this team. And for the first time in several years, they're not even close to getting into the, you know, even a wild card spot. So, number one, I already wrote them off. And, you know, I think the Phillies and the Braves have had some good success, but I just wasn't buying it. You know, I still feel like, you know, despite what happens, I feel like this is the Cubs division, or what do we call it? It's not like basketball. So the National League is owned by the Cubs. Like you said, the Dodgers are still there, but, you know, they've been kind of hit or miss. I mean, both the Dodgers and the Cubs kind of been the same this season. So, but like you said, I think maybe the brighter the lights get down in Atlanta, they may not have what it takes. Especially if especially if an umpire calls a bad infield fly roll.
Yeah, what'll be? Yeah, you're going so far back with that. There's people who don't remember that. interestingly, you know, they have a 2.5 game lead right now on the Phillies. Fortunately, the schedule makers were a little smarter in the American or the National League than they were the American League. The Braves and the Phillies actually face each other 7 times over the last 9 games of the season. So that's going to make it really interesting because it's looking more and more like the you know, NL East is only going to get one spot. It's going to be the division winner because Philadelphia right now is 3.5 games out of the wild card. You know, they would have to jump 3 teams essentially to get into that second wild card spot. That's difficult to do at this time of year. So it's looking more and more like it's you're going to need to win the division to get in. So, you know, that'll be a fun little way to wrap up the series there in the good old Central. So, you know, because the American League is basically all set now with the way, Seattle has struggled. There's really not much playoff drama there, unless the A's somehow miraculously catch the Astros and, you know, overtake them. But, what's weird is, like, we had the discussion about, you know, what an MVP is. I know he can't win it again this year, but, you know, since Jose Altuve's return, the Astros are 10-4. So I'm going to guess that he's kind of important to a club. You know, that's kind of part of the definition of MVP when it starts to roll that out. And I understand that you can't plug that into a sabermetric equation, so therefore these morons can't figure it out when it comes to importance of a player. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those other wonderful things that Sabermetrics can't help you with is, you know, leadership and what you mean to a club. Almost kind of the way, you know, Anthony Rizzo is kind of the Cubs leader, even though he doesn't have the stats to back it up. You know, they were able to tread water without Chris Bryant because Anthony Rizzo, even in a down year, is still there as their leader. And now he's hot, and he's able to kind of still lead them into the playoffs. I don't see the, you know, even though it is close, and I know Mr. Fantasy was making fun of you because the, you know, the Cubs lead is down to, well, it's actually down to 3 games. You know, it, I don't see the Brewers testing them, and the Cardinals aren't going to get there from 4.5 back, you know, unless Rizzo gets hurt and the Cubs miraculously fold. Which they would, which I could see them doing without him. But, you know, those are the kind of things that you need to, you know, you need to factor in without, you know, with MVP voting. You just can't plug your numbers into a computer and let the computer spit out your choice. You know, with all these kind of funky new wave stats, I mean, that's great if you want to see, you know, who's putting up numbers, the obvious thing, or you want to figure out some guy's war, which you can make up. But, you know, MVP has so much more to do with it than, you know, just numbers on a, you know, on a screen. But, you know, they don't seem to understand that. And if you've ever listened to any of the mumbo-jumbo Brian Kenny spits out, you realize he's as clueless as anybody else when it, you know, when it comes to what an MVP actually is. But, you know, he'll defend his position because that's where he stands. And, you know, it's like, well, we give it to Mike Trout because he has the best numbers, and I don't even think he does. So,
yeah, well, you know, what really makes MVP is launching and exit velocity.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I was trying to figure out, they mentioned something about the guy who's hit, who has the best exit velocity in the league this year, and I think he's hitting like 250. So I'm like, okay, that's great. What did you just show me? You know, I mean, there's guys hitting 330 just because their exit velocity isn't that good. We should discount that they're hitting 330 or 320 or where, you know, anything over 300. You know, we want to talk about this guy hitting 250 because, well, he hits the ball the hardest. Okay, thank you. So, you know, I'm bad. You know, I'll be baffled by that forever. So, just one of those fun things. But we did have, there were actually 2 games. Today, I mentioned that the Red Sox did complete the sweep of the Braves. They won that game 9-8, and Corey Kluber picked up his 18th win of the season as the Indians beat the Royals 3-1. But those were the only 2 early games that were, you know, were rolling through. So, you know, everything else goes. Everything else goes tonight. So, are you excited for that?
Ask me that again. The announcement.
I said, are you excited? Are you excited for everybody else playing tonight?
Oh yeah, of course. And it'll be
so, and you know, I
run up against Darius Justine. He's been trying to come up with a really bad pun because the Cubs haven't seen him. Damn. Seen his pitches.
I did get a kick. I'm sure you saw this one. I got to give those Brewers fans credit who produced the giant L yesterday. I thought that was a really, really fantastic on their part. And I'm actually surprised that more fans don't do that when their teams play the Cubs, since that W is so prevalent. So,
well, I'm sure the White Sox fans tried, but Yeah, we'll just leave it there.
So, you know, but yeah, I got a kick out of that, and that thing was gigantic. You know, I mean, I was just wondering, because Schomburg Stu was telling me about it, and I just assumed it was going to be, you know, the same size as a lot of the W flags are, or maybe even a smaller version. And I caught the highlight this morning, you know, that's, you know, they don't show a game highlight. They show the fans laying out this giant L flag, and I'm like, man, that was monstrous. So, I mean, while it sucked for the Cubs, I give those fans a lot of credit for being, you know, kind of innovative and, you know, trying to come up with something. So maybe that was their answer to Cole Hamels when he said it wasn't a rivalry.
That's what I was going to say. It's all thanks to Cole Hamels.
You know, damn Cole. See, they only get him for a little while, and, you know, this is what happens. But speaking of rivalries, Dan, you know, this brought up a topic on MLB.com. Let me see who's attached to this article here. Richard Justice, of all people, is attached to this. He ranked the top five rivalries in Major League Baseball. And, Dan, I got to tell you, I'll be incredibly disappointed if you can't name me the one he put at number one.
Giants versus Dodgers?
No, that's number two.
No.
You were cool.
Red Sox. Red Sox.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, there's no other way anybody's going to go with that. Dan actually nailed number two as Giants-Dodgers. The Cubs are actually number three, Dan. Who's their opponent in that one?
Well, after yesterday, it's probably the Brewers. No, it's the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cubs-Cardinals is three. I don't know if you'll get four because I didn't know this was a rivalry, but give it a shot. You got any idea what number four is? I hear the best hint I can give you is they both play in the NL East right now.
The Phillies and the Nationals?
No, he went with Braves Mets. Didn't know it was a rivalry, but he's going back to like the 1960s with this. And then five, the Cubs land here again. The Cubs, the only team on the list twice. Who's the Cubs' rival at number five, Dan? I'll give you a hint. It's not the White Sox.
The Reds?
So, no, you were right with your guess earlier when you said Cardinals. But who's that team that's playing tonight?
The Brewers?
Yeah, the Cubs are the fifth rivalry on his list here. So,
what determines this rivalry? Because, I mean, the Reds and the Cubs were like two of the original teams in Major League Baseball, and they've been playing each other for over 100 years. The Cubs and Brewers have only been playing each other for like the last 20 years.
Yeah, the two necessary ingredients to a great rivalry: proximity and fan interest.
Cool.
So there you go.
I think the Braves would mess out of it.
Yeah, it would. So. I didn't understand that one. That was the one that really confused me. You know, I mean, I'm trying to kind of think off the top of my head here about some other, you know, do we have any, you know, any more good ones? I mean, you know, obviously you stay away from interleague.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to use proximity, you know, the Florida series.
I mean, Angels, Yankees, but I mean, I don't know if you've been, you know, neither has been really good. So,
you know, I mean, to be honest, well, the Cubs Brewers one is kind of lopsided.
Yeah.
And I think the interleague one. I think the interleague one would be a little bit bigger. The Mets, Yankees, I think, would rank higher than Cubs, Brewers. Hey, even the Dodgers and the Angels would, I think, in my mind, would rank higher.
or even Giants A's, you know, because they're real close in proximity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know, like,
the
White Sox had real good rivalries with the Twins and then the Royals. You know, I mean, they have a long-term history of playing these guys. I know, like, the Orioles had, you know, rivalries, obviously, with the Red Sox and the Yankees as well. I mean, I know the Orioles are bad now, but they weren't always like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think there's, you know, definitely another possible way he could have went. But, yeah, I saw that thinking of it. So, and then I know you mentioned this while you were talking about the NL Easter. Mike Rizzo actually came out today and said Davey Martinez will return next year as national manager.
He will?
So, yeah.
He will?
Yes,
I
will.
They're
going to stick with
I had to hear three times just to make sure that I'm not crazy.
You know, and that's just the report. I mean, obviously, you know, if he decided he wanted to change his mind, he could change his mind. But yeah, as it's being reported, he's saying he's gonna stay. So we'll see if that helps them get Bryce Harper back or hurts them or in the end does whatever.
Well, I mean, do you think it kind of plays along with what we talked about with the Bulls? And, you know, how Pax and Gar can't admit fault when it comes to Fred Hoiberg because that's essentially their guy?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? I know it's different sports and different topics, but kind of the same.
So, yeah, I think a lot of it is it's difficult to make a judgment on the 1 year. You know, I definitely think you need to at least give him the second year to, you know, and especially a new guy like this who's never managed before. You know, and I mean, if he's your guy, don't you have to go down with your guy?
Yeah, you got to go down with your guy. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that with the way they're trying to do baseball, that having the front office run the team via the manager is really going to work out in the long run.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know.
Well,
I'll be interested to see what the do if Harper doesn't come back.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just look at a handful of the last World Series champions. You know, we'll put the Cubs, Astros, the Royals, and the Giants. Because I forgot who the coach of the 2013 Red Sox were and, you know, whatever. But, or was that John Farrell, 2013?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you take a look at all these coaches that were a part of a World Series team, and, you know, what's the common thing they all had in common is the fact that they were all more or less veteran coaches, but, I mean, all these guys had the confidence to run the team on the field without a whole lot of interference from the front office. Where, I mean, I know we talked about this with the Yankees, and, you know, there's just nothing the Yankees can do except try to win 100 games to even catch up with the Red Sox. But, I mean, the teams that essentially have the front office running the show, you know, they're not really getting where they need to be. I mean, the Angels or the A's have kind of kicked it up again, but they're not going to take the Astros out.
No, but, you know, if that's the only way you can get the job and you want to be a manager, what choice do you have?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying it from the manager's perspective. I'm talking from the organization's perspective.
Yeah, but doesn't every general manager secretly want to be a manager?
Yeah.
So.
Well, then just
don't
hire a manager. put on the
right. Well,
the
yeah.
uni and go sit
when
in the dugout.
That's always a bad thing. Are you ready to take my quiz, Dan?
Sure.
All right. You're answering the biggest questions for the final month of the baseball season. All right.
Ooh.
So here's the first one. What's the first thing that jumps out to you in the standings right now?
Honestly, the Red Sox.
Okay, well, you know, I'll give you the comparative answers here. They actually had a woman answer this, so that's always a big plus. She stated the difference between the American League and the National League. And then along your lines, one gentleman went with the fact that the Orioles being 54 and a half games out of first place. The third one is this gentleman picked the Red Sox and the Cubs as the biggest thing right now. So,
Cubs stand out until you get over and see the Red Sox, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, all right. Question two. Which pennant race are you most excited to watch over the final month?
American League. Oh, is there a specific?
I'm guessing. Yeah, division.
Oh, division. Well, that changes it up. And I'll go with the NL Central.
That's how they wrote it. The woman picked the NL West. Let's see. This gentleman, it looks like he wanted to pick the NL West, but he decided to go with the AL West. And then the third guy just rounded out picked the NL West. So that's what they've got going on. All right, here you go. The next question. Drum roll, please. Oh, okay. Which team are you most surprised is still in contention heading into the final weeks of the season?
The A's.
All right. Well, we got a vote for the Rockies here. This other one does say the A's. With you here, and this one, I think this is a little bit of a stretch, but they allowed this guy to pick the Tampa Bay Rays because. Technically, they're still in the wild card race, but really, do you consider them a contender?
No. Not even a little bit.
All right. This is clearly the easiest question that they asked here. Which team place in the standings is most disappointing?
There's 30 teams, and I mean, obviously the Orioles, but I think the Royals is very disappointing. I don't know, for the team that the Cubs are, I'm kind of disappointed with the way they are.
With who?
With the Cubs. You know, the expectations. They're not meeting the expectations that they've implanted starting in 2015 and 2016.
Like the first two went Nationals. The third one wanted to pick the Nationals. But they were sick of picking the Nationals, so they went with the Phillies. I understand how you could be disappointed in the Phillies, but okay. So. All right, this will be a fun one for you. Which individual award or stat race, because I know you're a sabermetric guy, are you most excited to watch over the final month of the season?
I'm still going with the home run.
So, yeah, humorously... Yeah, I'm quite humorous that they all kind of agreed on this in their own little uncertain way. Two of them take J.D. Martinez's run at the Triple Crown, the third one goes with the AL MVP race, which J.D. Martinez is a part of. So one way or another, he factored in to the their misgivings there. So,
well, even mine, because doesn't he have the most home runs?
Well, actually, Chris Davidson. So,
oh, that's right.
And then carrying on with their Martinez thoughts here, how many Triple Crown categories will J.D. Martinez win?
All three?
You can go with that. The one person does say all three. They got it, and the other two people say one. So,
what are the categories? I know it's batting average.
Home runs, RBIs, batting average. The three one category that means everything, and the other two, every sabermetric guy is written off. So as meaningless. Home RBIs and batting average are meaningless, but that's what part of the triple crown is. So, all right. Well, this will be interesting. I don't know how you kind of figure this one out, but let's see where you go with it. What's one under the radar thing that you'll be following the rest of the season?
What's one under the radar thing?
Yes. What's the one thing that you'll be watching that nobody else will be watching?
Anthony Rizzo's foot? That's kind of a that's very out
is
there.
That under the radar? Is that under the radar, though? I think isn't every fan watching that? No.
Yeah, you got to give me some examples of what they are talking about.
Here's what they went with. The woman picked the Indians because she wants to know about their bullpen, which has a 5.28 ERA, and how Josh Donaldson fits in. This other gentleman picked Joey Gallo because he wants to know if he can become the second player in Major League history to hit 30 home runs in a season while batting under 200. And this third guy went with the Rangers experimenting with an opener.
Hmm.
So.
Well, then my under the radar is watching Fernando Rodney. I think this was a fun, the whole thing, the last one just kind of, that one was, I hope that's the last question because killed
yes,
their entire
is.
Thing.
Yes.
I mean,
that's why it's the
I get it.
Because it's ended.
That's kind of like you blowing up a balloon and getting almost all the way there, and then when you go to tie it, you accidentally let go of it, and it all just deflates and flies away. That's what that question just did to their whole. That's what their question just did to the whole thing they did.
Yeah. So yeah, they had a pretty interesting thing going there until the last one, and I get it. The Indians are in the AL Central, and it's not a very good division, and they're running away with it. But you can hardly say they're under the radar. And I did find it odd that the other two people picked Texas Ranger stuff, but I guess they're definitely under the radar. So, you can't argue with that one.
I mean, I'm still secretly following if Rafael Palmeiro is going to play again, right?
Yeah, it's always kind of disappointing when, he didn't get a shot there. So I never did look at his stats to see how he hit there. I know I saw a highlight of like a home run he hit, but I don't know other than that, how he actually did.
Well, sadly, all he had to do is hit, 240 and he'd be ready for the major leagues today.
Yeah. So I don't even know if he'd have to do, does he have to do that? All he had to do was show that he, he could hit some home runs, and I'm surprised someone didn't grab him. So.
Well, that wouldn't count. Your exit velocity and your launch angle is what matters.
Yeah. Just one of those more more exciting things that you have to, you know, you have to talk about just what I care about is your launch angle. So we'll, you know, we'll see how all that fun stuff works out, but so. Yeah, and then we were talking off the air. Mr. Fantasy actually decided to stop in and call us, which was surprising. I figured I had did something wrong in the fantasy team, but he was just curious on if Le'Veon Bell had reported, and sadly all that tipped me off to was the fact that he didn't read the blog at sportstimeradio.com because that was actually included in there. But I'm now convinced that when I send him email, it goes directly to his spam folder. So, because I...
Well, I don't think he checks it anymore. He's got an assistant for that.
Yeah, and they probably just delete it when they see that. But, yeah, we answered his question. Bell did not report. And oddly, I believe his agent actually came out. Like, I know they asked somebody if he was even in Pittsburgh. And his agent's quote was, he'll get there when he gets there. I would be a little surprised if he didn't report before the game because he'd be costing himself $900,000. And I understand that he's a rich man, but $900,000 is still quite a bit of money. So I don't think he would sit out the game. He still hasn't signed his franchise tender, so he has to do that as well. So...
Well, and here's one of those things that, you know, you talked about the other day was the fact that I forget what we were talking about, but isn't this their own fault? Isn't the CBA kind of determining the franchise tagging? So you're going to be mad at the team or the league, but why aren't you mad at your player reps?
It is odd that something, you know, and again, this has to be agreed upon by their union. So, you know, I mean, this was a collectively bargained rule. The owners just didn't say, hey, we're going to do this franchise tag thing. And part of the idea with it was to keep players with their original teams long term to build a fan base, which is something I know you and I have talked to. One of the things I used to really enjoy is when a guy would start with one team and then finish with one team. He would play his whole career there. We don't get too much of that anymore, but this was part of the idea behind this rule. And, you know, to make sure that you get paid there, you know, your average salary is based on the top five salaries at that position. You know, you get the average of those top five salaries when you're franchise tagged. So it's not like he's not making a good chunk of change. Oddly, his complaint is that running backs aren't paid. I think it's like wide receivers is what he's complaining about, is that they're not making as much money as wide receivers are. And, again, to me, that kind of falls back in, well, who's your agent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did he let this get away from you? You've been one of the best backs in the NFL for multiple years now. So why didn't your agent figure this out? You know, and again, like Dan said, why are you mad at the team? Because they franchised you. Were they supposed to let you go into free agency and get nothing for you? That's a smart team move, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
not only that, you know, I mean, I guess you'd have to look up what Antonio Brown makes compared to what he makes. But in the same token, the reason I didn't go after Antonio Brown was the fact that from what I was read was that Antonio Brown wasn't going to be as much of a factor since they have Le'Veon Bell, and that the coach is kind of being pushed and maybe forced a little bit more to run the ball over passing.
So, well, that would have been nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's Let's see if I can figure out who makes what here with the Steelers.
But, you know, I mean, he can he play if he reports on Friday? Is that how that works?
That would be up to the coach. You know, I mean, technically he could, you know, if that's what, you know, the coach would allow him to. All right, here you go, Dan. With the franchise tag, Le'Veon Bell is scheduled to make $14,544,000. This year, Antonio Brown is scheduled to make just a little less than $8 million. It's actually $7,955,000. But next year, his contract goes to $22.165 million.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's the big jump there. Then it comes down. It's a weird contract because it's a little over $22 million. Then it drops down to a little over $18 million. And then in the final year of the deal, it's $19.5 million before he's a free agent in 2020. So. You know, and no surprise, Roethlisberger is the highest paid guy at $23.2 million for the next 2 years. So, but yeah, that's just, you know, kind of how it worked out. So yeah, I don't know. I guess Bell wants $22 million a year is what he's. What he's looking for, he wants to be paid like Antonio Brown. You know what I mean? I know Odell Beckham just got that, you know, that big contract. So,
well,
you know,
I mean,
maybe,
he can hold out all he wants, but he better perform to deserve that contract.
Yeah, and, you know, now, oddly, he'll actually be the highest paid running back this season. But he wants that wide receiver money. He wants that $22 million. He'll actually make a little less than $6 million more than LeSean McCoy. And he makes about double what Todd Gurley makes, who everybody thinks is the best back in the league right now. So, I get, you know, like everybody else, he wants more money. We all do. But, man, as a running back, he's doing pretty well. So I don't know, you know, how much of an argument he's going to get here. You know, like even when he goes, you know, like say nothing happens and he goes into free agency, is there a team out there that's going to give him $20 million a year as a running back?
Only a team like the Bears and – by that, I'm meaning they have a quarterback under a rookie contract.
Yeah. You know, and that's the kind of team it would have to be. I mean, I'm looking this year, believe it or not, Mike Evans is the highest paid wide receiver for this season because we know Brown's contract really doesn't kick in until next year. Evans makes $18.258 million for this season. So he's the highest paid guy. Now, obviously, it's $4 million more than what Brown makes, but if Brown was in this, or Bell makes, excuse me, if he was in this wide receiver category, he would be the fourth highest paid wide receiver. So his numbers aren't that out of line, you know, except for the fact that, you know, a running back has a much shorter time frame of a career. So I don't know. I just don't see anybody, you know, jumping up and going, hey, we'll give you $20 million to play for us this year. Sure, come on by.
Well, he may have had to sit out the whole season.
Yeah, you know, if he chooses to, you know, again, but, you know, that's a lot of money to walk away from. You know, I mean, I, you know, he played for, I don't know what the cap number was last year, but, you know, he ended up playing for it there, you know, again. And I, you know, this, you know, I, yeah, I'm just kind of baffled on if he could manage to do it again. Yeah. Last year it was $12.12 million. So, but yeah, I don't know, you know, I don't know what, you know, what his situation will be, or, you know, how it kind of works out. But, yeah, what has it got here? It looks like, and I think they're including this year, so you'd have to take this out. But it looks like he's made a total of $30.5 million in his career. So, I mean, I guess if he's okay with his money, he could sit out, right? But I don't know if that would help you, does it? I mean, does sitting out a year ever really help a guy?
No, not one bit.
So, you know, I mean, I would think, you know, just play for the $14 million, which I believe is guaranteed since it's franchise. Play for that. If you want to be a free agent, you know, go be a free agent. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you can cash in, next year. But yeah, it just kind of, you know, like you said, you know, you brought up the good point, like we kind of talked about yesterday. I mean, you know, he's pissed off at the Steelers, and it's all the Steelers' fault because they tagged him, but your union agreed to this being allowed to happen. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? I mean, he doesn't want to point the finger at the union because he might need them. Is that what the deal is there?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's not like your union.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll never – well, my union would never be there for me if I needed them anyways. They'd go, oh, you're just one of those guys. Yeah, whatever. So, you know, we can replace you. That's no big deal. Just give us your money every week. No. So yeah, I don't know. You know, we were talking, like, you own him in one of our fantasy leagues. Mr. Fantasy actually has him in the other one. I take it you're gonna sit him the way it looks this week.
Well, fortunately, I have his backup, thanks to Mr. Fantasy's advice during our draft. You know, like I was telling you guys before, and it was a good and a bad thing. It would be good because that was what I thought was going to drop Mr. Fantasy's points down some more so I could beat him in the auction league. But, you know, the bad part about it is I have him in the other league. So, like I said, it's a good and a bad.
Yeah. So, it definitely will be, you know, interesting for fantasy owners, because obviously, you know, he was probably, you know, depending on your league scoring, I would be surprised if he fell out of the top five, you know, of your draft. So, you know, it probably an interesting conundrum for a lot of guys. And like in our money league, you actually only start one running back. It's one of those leagues. It's one running back, two receivers, a tight end, and a flat. So.
Oh, I would have figured you guys would start three tight ends in that league.
No, I didn't set that one up. So. And actually, you know how much these guys would cry if it was a two tight end league? You would have no idea the whining these guys would do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I heard the whining from two guys who basically won the league that we put together, or you put together,
yeah.
And they quit. So I think I can slightly imagine what that would be.
So, yeah, that's still the funniest thing ever to me. It was the two guys who went to the Super Bowl, so they finished first and second, and they both quit the next year. I don't think that's ever happened before, so... Oh, but I did have to tell you, while as we're rolling out of time here, on Monday for our Money League draft, I decided to wear my cool, notorious Conor McGregor T-shirt to the draft. And obviously, you know, being a big fat guy, I'm walking around like I'm wearing a bulletin board. That's just how big I am. Nobody noticed, but the guy who wore his T-shirt that was a throwback White Sox jersey, people couldn't start to stop talking about.
You should have worn your Mike Trout shirt.
So I was just kind of like, yeah, really? You know, because it was the one where it was like the striped one. Yeah, and I was just kind of like, okay, we're going to.
Yeah.
Did nobody notice that I'm wearing an actually cool T-shirt that has a fantastic tiger on it? And, you know, it looks really cool. And, yeah, so morons.
Well, the thing with that Conor McGregor, it's kind of under the radar. Like, you don't really know what it is until you actually read it.
Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, it almost looks like a Cincinnati Bengals T-shirt. So,
yeah. See, you should have shown up with your Jake Arrieta.
Yeah. Well, I'll save that for the baseball draft. So.
Nice.
See if
good
they
idea.
They know that with the ball. Which I doubt, you know. So they're not the, this is the league where I kind of don't exist anyways. I think I've mentioned it to you before that, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I share the team, and all the other teams have combined names except ours. Everything is in his name. So, you know, it's like the teams are like, you know, these two guys named Jeff share a team, so they're Jeff and Jeff. Two brothers play together, they're Wayne and Colin. You know, and I'm trying to think, I think, oh, there's Mike and Ron share a team. Everybody's got, both names are on all those teams except ours. It's just Mr. Fantasy's name. So... Yeah, and then it never forbids that when we're there or he'll be talking to me and he goes, well, didn't you see the email? Well, no, my name isn't on the team. I don't get the emails. But they always do that to me. Well, we emailed it out. And he didn't email it to me. So, really, thank you. It's like, am I not here? Can nobody see me? Hello?
Well, I can hear you.
That's about it, you know. But, yeah, it's kind of funny because it's literally like being invisible in the room. So, you know, like even when they address the team, they generally address it to him. They rarely speak to me. So I'm just kind of there. Even though we've been in the league for I don't know how long. Get over to sportsgambling.com and check out the new blog. Get links to load into the Facebook page and give that a like. And don't forget, we also have the total piece of this at sportsgambling.com. Feel free to have the end of the day. Well, that was fun to do. As always, if you come down here and listen to us live, we appreciate you doing that. But don't forget, all you got to do is go over to sportsgambling.com.
Roll out. For some reason.